Well, everything that has happened to you in your life has led you up to this moment. This is the most important day you have ever lived. And if you ever become anything, it starts today. Built upon your past, built upon your attitude, whatever your life is founded upon, that's what you're building. What is your life? Shall we pray? Father, we want our lives to count for something. We really don't know why we were born. Well, we do after a while, we do, but when we're born, we don't. We don't know what our purpose is. We're just a blank. But as life goes by, things get added to us. We learn this, we learn that. We find out about things and we get a vague idea what to do. Father, whatever has led us up to this moment, may we now be challenged to really make our lives count. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a little bit here in Genesis chapter 47. Beginning at verse 8, Joseph has sent for his family, and his father, Jacob, has come down, and he's meeting Pharaoh for the first time. And Pharaoh looks at Jacob, and he says, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." And then we're going further down in chapter 48, and starting at verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, 'Indeed, your father is sick.' And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, so he could bless them." Let's go back up again to in 47. And it says here in verse 28, "And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. Now, today, that is an unheard of age, to live to be 147. But Jacob said to Pharaoh when he was 130, "The days and the years of my life have been few and evil," and that he had not attained to the days and years of the lives of his fathers. Oh, but what a life Jacob had lived! How he packed life into his living. Think of all the heroes of the Bible. Jacob is one. Oh, Jacob had quite a life, didn't he? And he changed over the years, and he grew over the years, and he had a lot of affliction, a lot of things went wrong, and a lot of things went right, and it was all a mishmash. But at the end of his days, he said, "Few and evil have been the years of my life." We are on a pilgrimage. You're on a different stage of pilgrimage than I am. There's all different ages. And everybody came here with different things that they're thinking about, burdening them down, the cares of life. You have struggled all your life to get where you are right now. And so did he. I want to go over to Hebrews. I want to read you some more. I want to set this up. I'm going to go a little slow. I'm not going to race through this because you've got to get this. Your life has to account for something. You've got to have a reason to be. You're here for a reason. You came to this church today because you need something. You may not have come because you wanted to, or you may have come because you have a need and you're expecting something, or you may just have come out of habit and just don't really know why you're here. It's just a habit for some. But this is a divine appointment. You've got to think of this day. This is it. This is what you've got. You haven't got yesterday anymore. Tomorrow is the promise and nothing more. Today is the most essential, important day of your life. You have to make some decisions right here and now. And I'm going to challenge you to make those decisions. Let's go to, like I said, the book of Hebrews. Because there's a lot of examples in the Bible about people who overcame, who lived full lives, who made a statement, and they are called heroes of the faith. Now, it's in chapter 11. And our first hero is Abel. And now Abel had a short life in comparison to what his father and mother and brother had. His life was cut off, but he said by faith Abel, chapter 11 verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, to which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. Abel's life was not a waste. It's worthwhile. It speaks to us today. His example resonates over the centuries, over the millenniums, to today. Your life may not be as long as everybody else's. You may get cut off in your youth, but you can make your life count. It means something. Jesus died at the age of 33, and look what his life accomplished. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we got hope for a future that's beyond our wildest dreams. Now we know we're undergoing stresses and trials and tribulations, and Murphy's Law is rampant throughout the land. And you know what I'm talking about. I preached about it before. I don't like him at all, but he's sometimes right. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. But somehow we have got hope. And someday we're going to bury Murphy for the last time. Because we are looking up to that city whose builder and maker is God. Let's look at Enoch. Now, Enoch lived a long life according to our standards. So long that he hasn't died yet. He was walking with God. He was down here on this earth for 300 years. When he was 65 years old, he had a little boy by the name of Methuselah. And the circumstances around that so moved Enoch that he was inspired to walk with God for 300 years, and he just walked right into heaven. His life really counted for something, didn't it? Because if he can do it, and he did not see Jesus, well, he saw him in vision, but he did not see Jesus die on the cross. But by faith, he appropriated that promise way back then and just walked right into heaven. He got it on credit, I guess. You know, God's promises are yea and amen to them that believe. And way back then, his life counted. Noah, verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. We have to move with some godly fear, folks. We have to realize that we are in that last days. We're in the last days of the last days of that image of Nebuchadnezzar. We are in the clay and iron toenails. Literally, this is it. We are getting so close to the coming of the Lord. If we don't wake up, we're going to miss it. Oh, can that happen to Seventh-day Adventists? You bet it can. It can happen to Israelites. It can happen to any church people, whoever they are. If they are not ready for the coming of the Lord, they will perish. No church. I do not know any other church other than the Seventh-day Adventist church, correct me if I'm wrong, that preaches that when Jesus comes, the world perishes. The rest of them think that the world goes on and on and on for 1,000 years with a forced reign of Christ on the earth. Jesus never forced his reign on anybody. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world, else would my servants fight." If he wanted to force his way down here, he would have done it when he came the first time. That is a myth that those people believe. When Jesus comes, you better be ready or you're not going. Period. Now, that's not pleasant stuff to hear, but that's the truth. And I didn't hear a lot of amens, but it's the truth anyway. Because when Jesus comes, it's happy for those that are ready, but it's the end of the world. And for 1,000 years, this world is devastated, and the devil has nobody to tempt. So are you ready? But Noah preached that, and he was warned of things not yet seen. He moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Are you preparing an ark for the saving of your household? Because that's all he ended up with. His wife, his three boys, and their three wives. Sometimes you got to walk alone in this thing. Don't follow the crowd. This society follows crowds. They believe that the majority are right. Well, the majority is wrong. The majority is wrong. You need to walk alone with Jesus. Sometimes very much alone. And Elijah felt that aloneness when he was being chased by Jezebel. "Just me left, Lord. Oh, poor, woe is me. There's only one. I'm the only one left." God said, "No, you're not. No, you're not. We're not the only ones, but we sometimes feel that we are all alone." Abraham and Sarah, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. But what he did know was that God sent him. So if God sent him, he was equipping him. And if God equips you, you're going to get there wherever it is. And wherever God sends you, he equips you. When he gives you something to do, you say, "Well, I can't do it. I'm not where I just don't have the capability. I just can't do it." And Moses basically told him that. And, well, he said, what's in your hand?" "It's a staff." He says, "Throw it on the ground." And it became a snake. He said, "I'll pick it up again." Picked it up again, and it was a staff again. Whatever God has given you, he expects you to use it. He has given you life. What is your life? It is a gift from God. He said, use it. You know, live. If you're alive, for goodness sake, live. Don't wait to die. A lot of people reach a certain age and they're just waiting around to die. "Well, I can hardly wait to get 65, then I can retire." What are you going to do, die? That's what a lot of people do. They sit around rocking in their rocking chairs, waiting to die. "I got my pension. That's what I lived my whole life for." No, you didn't. Goodness gracious, Colonel Sanders didn't really get going until he was 65. Moses really didn't get it right till he was 80. You know, wherever you are right now, I don't care how old you are, young, old, today you can begin to do what God wants you to do. Don't worry about the wasted life, wasted years. Don't worry about it. It's done. Start now being what you should be for God. Begin to be what God wants you to be and start doing it. Get it done. Do it now. You don't know about tomorrow. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of those sons of Joseph that I told you about and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. You know that staff meant a lot to Jacob. Why did Jacob have a staff? Because his hip was still out of joint after all those years. Jacob had a limp. And he lived with a limp. But that limp showed who he was. It showed his encounter with God. He was a prince with God. No longer was Jacob, Jacob. He was Israel. a prince with God because he wrestled with the angel and he prevailed. You have got to wrestle with angels, devils. I don't care what you've got to wrestle with. You've got Jesus to help you. He wants to help you overcome. For all the promises of God are to them that overcometh. We are not in heaven yet, folks. We've got to overcome. We've got to overcome. Our life is what it is. Whatever we make out of our life is what we make of our life. Nobody's going to live your life for you. And your life has to count. Does your life count? Are you looking at yourself once in a while and say, well, wow, what a failure. Hangdog expression on your face and looking in that mirror and watching that face deteriorate before your eyes. Every day getting older and tireder. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to stand there looking at yourself, feeling sorry for yourself, or you're going to go out and do something. Because it ain't going to get done unless you do it. You're waiting for somebody to be a Christian, come over to your house and give you comfort. You're going to die where you sit. You might as well get up and start doing something. Go over and comfort somebody else worse off than you, and you'll feel much better for doing so. Make your life count. What is your talent? What can you do? Do it then. Don't make excuses for yourself of why you can't, or well, so-and-so spoke to me in such and such a way or looked at me that way, therefore I'm going to sit here and pout. Gracious goodness, do something about it. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven you. Anything that you want in this life, if you work hard, with determination, with definiteness of purpose, with activity knowledge. This is our activity knowledge, folks. This tells us what we can do, what we should do, how we should live, how we should behave amongst ourselves. If you haven't loved somebody freely, if you haven't been their friend, if you've been, you can do these things. These are not impossible things to do. Love one another as I have loved you. And do good to them which despitefully use you. Did he say that? Yes, he did. Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, what if Moses had been wiser as a young man? Maybe he could have started sooner. But sometimes we need to have the starch kicked out of us. And the pride. And we think we can do this. And we think we can do that. Well, let's get it done through God's agency. See, Jesus wants us to dedicate our lives to Him. To give ourselves freely to Him. He does not want to force His way. He does not force His way into your life. He just says, come. Come to Me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon Me, for I am meek and lowly, and My burden is easy, and my load is light. He can help you bear your load. Don't try to do all this alone. Are you trying to live a Christian life without Christ? Impossible. The children were talking about a do-gooders club. Is this what this is to you? A do-gooders club? A mutual admiration society? Exclusive for members only? Or are we supposed to reach the world? We reach the world one person at a time. Your sphere of influence is greater than you know. You can do it. Can you begin this day to make your life count? And what you've got to do, are you ready for Jesus to come? If Jesus came today, would you be ready to go with Him or would you be left behind? This is the first thing you got to settle. Settle your eternal destiny now, today. Today is the accepted time. Tomorrow? No. Yesterday's too late. Today. If you haven't got this basic fundamental thing done between you and Jesus, get it done today. If that's where you're at, then come. Come and pray and ask God to forgive your sins. Let's get the sin question out of the way. Let's begin to stop worrying about dying and begin to live. So anybody that's here today that hasn't got that settled, let's settle it now. Anybody that would like to rededicate their lives to Christ and say, I'm going to begin today to be the best that I can be for as long as I can hold it and keep it and overcome, Lord, help me. That's the kind of prayer you want to pray? He's going to answer that prayer. Yes, I'll take you. If you want to come to Him with all your sin and your care and your woe and say, Jesus, will you take it? He say, yes, I will. Come. If you've got worries, if you've got problems, you know, He still heals today. If you need healing in your body, in your emotions, in your mind, if you're just about ready to go crazy, if Jesus doesn't do something, ask Him and He'll do it for you. Because that's the kind of God He is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the problem solver, and He helps you. If He doesn't solve the problem, He'll give you strength to bear the problem until you come out the other side. Because here you are today, all these problems that you've had, you've made it through them so far. Now you might be in the midst of a terrible one right now. I am. I'm in a lot of trouble. But I'm not giving up because I got purpose, I got life, I got Christ, I got hope, I got peace in my heart, even though the whole world is turmoil, even though we cannot see from one day to the next what's going to happen, yet we can walk by faith because that's it. We do not walk by sight, we walk by faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh unto God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are you diligently seeking Him today? And here's an opportunity for you to diligently seek the Lord. That's why we have church. We have it for us to come and get strong together, but we have an open door so that people can come in and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we'll help you along the way. What do you say? Do you want to be Jesus' disciple? Do you want to follow Him? Do you want to make today the beginning of the rest of your life where you begin to achieve and do and accomplish things for Him? Because only one life, as they say, and soon will be passed, and only what you've done for Christ will last anyway. The rest of it's going to burn up. Are you ready? Anybody want to come and pray? You're free to do so. I'm going to pray right now. If you want to get right with God and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you come down here. If you want to rededicate your life to Him, and you want to pray about it, and you don't care who sees you, and you're not going to be ashamed of Christ, you come down here and you pray. And we will pray with you, whatever your need is, healing. He is still capable of that, folks. Does he only heal Pentecostals or Baptists? He heals Seventh-day Adventist people too. I've seen Him do it. I've been there, done that. We have a wonderful God, don't we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask You to now send Your Holy Spirit to the hearts of those that have heard the word today. You know where they are. You know exactly where they are in their spiritual walk. You know their hearts. You know that they came here today wanting something real and believing You that You were going to touch them some way, somehow. They didn't even know why they came, or they just came out of habit and You've met them anyway. Lord, we believe in miracle power. We believe that Your power to forgive is still the same as it ever was, and that Your blood washes away all sin, and that Your mercy endures forever. So we're going to come and we're going to pray, Lord. We ask You, Lord, to bless each one with what they need, not necessarily with what they may want. Do not feed their greed, Lord, but feed their need, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.